Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am extremely lucky to have on Laura Attia. She is an accredited practicing dietitian, a personal trainer, a Pilates instructor with a Master of Dietetics and a Bachelor of Nutrition Science and Human Nutrition. To others, she is more commonly known as Laura, and with four kids under 5 years old, she is very busy. Her passion is to support women and couples to optimize their diet and lifestyle to be in the best state to conceive, improve their health during pregnancy and postpartum, and we're lucky to have her on the show today. So without any further ado, let's listen in. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Today, we are lucky to have with us Laura Attia from Dietitian and Fitness for Mums. Please correct me, Laura, for your last name.
No, that's perfect. Laura Attia, so that's spot on.
Great. We are so excited to have you here on the podcast today to be chatting about conception and getting our bodies ready prior to conception. So I want to just dive in and first of all ask you what your definition of health is. I always ask this to all my guests and I just love to hear. Everyone's a little bit different, so I'd love to hear what your definition of health is.
So I think the universal definition of health is like the absence of disease or injury. And I agree with that. But for me, it's also being in a state where we can thrive and all aspects of health are being nurtured and nourished. So that includes your emotional health, physical health, spiritual health. So all everything. It's not just being great at one part of health. Everything's connected. So if we're looking after all those bits, we're going to be able to enjoy health.
Awesome. I agree with that. I always say when I'm working with my clients, it's not just, I mean, the absence of disease, do you know what I mean? Yes, we want that, but there's so many factors that come into preventing that in all our areas of health. So I definitely agree with that as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help women with their health?
Yeah, so I'm a prenatal dietitian, and my area of focus is, or speciality is early life nutrition, and that's preconception. So focusing on how we can optimize health for conception and genetic or epigenetic expression, which is just how genes are switch on and off depending on what you eat and your lifestyle choices. So helping people recognize that and then make appropriate choices to prevent disease and the health of your baby long term. That's my area that I particularly love, that prevention part of my job. And then supporting women through pregnancy, postpartum, and all the way up to toddlerhood. So that full sort of cycle.
Amazing. And I know epigenetics, especially in the last few years, has sort of really started to surge. And, you know, back in the day, you know, people never sort of used to think about what they were eating as such so much prior to even leading up to conception. So I think it's a really relevant topic in this day and age too. And there's so much more research coming out about it. So that's amazing as well.
Yeah, not many people like understand that, you know, our diet and lifestyle choices can affect our gene expression. So, you know, whether things are switched on and off or off. So, yeah, that's something that people are always like, oh, I didn't know I can increase my risk of certain diseases by the way that I eat. So that's something that, yeah, I find exciting explaining to people.
Yeah, and really empowering as well for women to be able to learn that for their pregnancy, to be able to grow that healthy baby and give us its best shot. Can you tell us, is there any differences between a prenatal and a postnatal dietitian and what they do?
Yeah, so a prenatal dietitian is focusing on preconception, so helping you to fall pregnant as well and optimizing your health for pregnancy. Postpartum dietetics, we usually, most dietitians will cover both. Sometimes dietitians might want to just specialize in fertility, which will be that prenatal side more than the postnatal. So postnatal is looking after women after they have a baby, and that can be covered in general dietetics as well. But the prenatal part is really a specialist area, and yeah, you tend to be covered for postnatal care as well.
Amazing. And can you tell us a little bit about your own health journey and how that may have sort of influenced maybe your career or, you know, how you work with women as well?
Yeah, so my health journey started when I was a teenager. I was really active. I loved being outside, loved playing sport. But I found, you know, going through adolescence, my body was changing and I didn't like it. And I was trying to restrict my food, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just trying to eat less in general. And I guess I started to see my energy drop, not being able to perform as well in my sport that I loved and I was good at. And eventually I just started to get sick. You know, colds and flus were just becoming really common. And then I got really sick. So I got diagnosed with lupus. So that's an autoimmune disease. And I feel like that environment that I was in helped me switch on that gene, you know, like just the way that I was eating and living my life. I just wasn't really sure exactly the science of what I was doing. I was just trying to have some control over my body. And that started that education in nutrition, really diving a little bit deeper and, you know, what affects, what, how food affects health and how I can better myself in terms of energy, because it's so hard when you're unwell as a teen and your friends are having an awesome summer and you're at home and you're sick. So that really was a motivating factor to start learning about nutrition. And then I went on to doing my Masters of Dietetics and then becoming a mum. Like it happened easily for me and I wasn't really sure why. Having lupus, I expected it to be a bit more difficult. And I mean, my journey is not what everyone, you know, it's very specific to me. It doesn't mean that that will happen for the next person, but I just wanted to understand the science behind what influences or enhances someone's fertility through diet. So that sort of sparked that next chapter in dietetics for me.
Yeah, amazing. And in regards to what is optimal that, you know, for their women and their partners, I guess that's another thing to look at too, because it isn't just, you know, the woman when it comes to fertility, it's the two, okay, man and woman. Mm. Are there things or foods or, you know, nutrition-wise what they should be focusing on?
Yes. You know, just even general health is a good place to start. So, many of us are just not getting the, you know, fruits and vegetables. The statistics are like 1 in 10 people meet the 5 to 7 serves of vegetables a day. And we're all like not even meeting our normal requirements for everything else, grain, seeds, lean meat, just, yeah, protein, the whole picture. We're just not meeting our serves per day for each food group. So even just starting with getting, you know, whole foods, more fresh fruit and vegetables in your diet, making sure you are getting, you know, fish and lean cuts of meat, nuts and seeds and grains, all of it. So that's a good place to start. Just trying, you know, I think all of us can work on the general basics of nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah, so starting there, but then I guess when we're looking at preconception as well, there are specific nutrients we do want to hone in hone in on and make sure that you are getting for the growth of your baby and disease prevention. So where I start with that, and I recommend everyone starts here as well, is getting a blood test. So that is going to help us, your prenatal dietitian and the couple, know what they need to work on specifically for them. And I guess a lot of the things that you might need to change also take time. And if there are deficiencies, that also needs time to build up those nutrition stores. So giving yourself time 3 months beforehand is ideal, but having that conversation even earlier, like 6 to 12 months, checking in with your doctor. A lot of people, you know, haven't had a health check in a while. So especially in these times with COVID around. So, yeah, getting your bloods checked, getting your weight also could be something as well that you need to work on. So that can affect fertility and the quality of genes expressed. So when I say weight, it's not just being overweight, it's also being underweight, because that can affect ovulation in women. So if you need to increase your body fat, that can take time. And as well, if you need to lose weight, you know, it's hard to do. Lots of people struggle with it. So getting in to see someone can help with all of those things, just simplify the process and guide you and support you. But I guess going back to the blood test, most women know that we need folate for pregnancy.
And
to prevent, you know, neural tube defects. But I guess what's not as well known is how much you need for you can be different. Some women may need higher amounts of folate, especially if they have like a family history of neural tube defects. So it is recommended that we should be on folic acid beforehand. Again, almost, you know, about 3 months before trying to have a baby, and also getting lots of folate from our food. So your dark leafy vegetables and your greens are going to be your best source. It is fortified in Australia, in our, like, our breads and cereals as well, but we do want to get it a lot more from food. That's going to be the best way to get it. But having ample amount of time beforehand to work on it is the best thing.
Yeah. And is there any sort of foods that people should maybe be looking at to minimize or eliminate as such, or, you know, is your view not to eliminate anything at all, or can you expand on that a little bit more?
There is, you know, with preconception, you know, I touched on folate, but there's also other heaps of other, you know, vitamins and minerals that you need to support a healthy baby beforehand. So it's not really about eliminating. I mean, we will talk a little bit more about, you know, foods you should cut down on, limit, I guess, like your processed foods. You know, we know that we are all, not all, but most people are having high amounts of fat and sugar and salt in their diet. So trying to increase your good fats can be something that can help with conception as well. So we know omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in like your cold water fish like salmon, are really supportive for good health of your uterus and ovulation. So that can help with conception and also supporting a healthy pregnancy. So, yeah, looking at your fats, trying to get a lot more good fats in your diet versus the saturated fat, which is high in animal products, and trans fat, which is high in like your baked, commercial baked biscuits and sweets and bakery items.
Yeah, all the stuff that people like to eat.
But, you know, fish is also really great for you and can be delicious as well.
Yeah. We're a big advocate in my house for eating our salmon and that too. So I'm all for that as well. And what are some of the other sort of lifestyle factors that people may be needing to look at as well? So, you know, obviously diet is really important, but, you know, if you can expand on maybe, you know, that sleep or stress or things like that, that people can think about as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, women can still get pregnant if they're stressed. But, I mean, it's not ideal because what tends to happen is, you know, we try and find other ways to deal with stress. So nutritionally, we can overeat or emotionally eat to deal with stress. So that's not going to be a good thing and not really supportive of what we're trying to do in a general sense of eating well and reducing sugar and processed foods. So it's sort of identifying what is stressing you out, you know, trying to fall pregnant can be stressful. So really thinking about a long-term strategy to help deal with stress. So being, you know, active is good, but sometimes people use like exercise, over-exercising to deal with stress, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Because then that's perceived as more stress on the body. And I'm talking about people who are training for an hour, you know, strenuous exercise, and they're doing a walk in the afternoon, and that's happening, you know, 6 days a week, which is too much. So just thinking about, you know, ways that can help with getting better sleep as well. So a nighttime routine, switching off devices before you sleep, maybe reading before you go to bed to help you relax. And then, you know, talking to friends. It's really important to kind of have an outlet where you can just relax and enjoy, have some time where it's enjoyable and talk about, you know, what's going on. And if stress is getting in the way, then, yeah, maybe getting the help of someone, a professional that can help too, that can be really useful.
Yeah, there's some great tips. I mean, I know even after having my kids, having that sort of support network with friends that you can talk to as well is, you know, really helpful when you're sort of sharing things and sort of saying, my baby won't sleep, you know, what can I do, and that sort of stuff. So even prior to, I can see how it can be really beneficial as well. Yeah. And also when it comes to exercise, because, you know, I'm a Pilates instructor, so I'll often get women coming in, you know, once they are pregnant, they start Pilates because they've been told by their doctor it's a really good thing to do. But are there types of, you know, exercises and duration that you might recommend prior to conceiving as well?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, whatever you, like, I guess you don't want to be starting something new in pregnancy. So it's important if you do want to start exercising and you haven't really been, then trying to get at least 30 minutes a day of exercise is going to benefit your overall health. So just things like walking or low impact exercises like Pilates is fantastic. And because Pilates you can do while you're pregnant and is beneficial, like for aches and pains and pelvic floor health, it's something that you really want to get on, well, experience beforehand, you know, like it's something to get familiar with. And it's strengthening whilst you're pregnant, but also postpartum, it's going to be something that you will engage with a physiotherapist possibly, and something that you can easily get back to. So, yeah, I really recommend Pilates for my clients, and that's why I became a Pilates instructor. Or I was a personal trainer beforehand, and I just found that women after having a baby, you know, there's certain things that change in your body and you can't train the way you used to. So just getting on top of it beforehand is a great place to start.
Yeah, well, you've got an advocate. You got with you as well. Yeah. I always say to my clients that I have, the earlier that they can start and the more strength we can build up before they get pregnant, then the easier it's going to be with keeping those aches and pains at bay when they are pregnant, because they've already got that sort of base level of strength that they've built up. So where possible, if you can begin Pilates before conceiving, then you're even going to get more benefits out of it. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And if there's a couple, maybe they're having difficulty, you know, trying to conceive, and they're just not sure where to start, maybe nutritionally, just to give it the best possible chance. I know you mentioned seeing somebody, but is there, you know, just maybe three things that they could look at doing and being able to implement straight away that might sort of start to get them on the right track?
It's hard because, yeah, your bloods will be really, really important in telling the client or the couple, as well as like getting to see a prenatal dietitian to tell you how much of certain things that you need. Sometimes it's just getting a little bit more specific of those nutrients, and especially people who are like, especially women who have like heavy periods, iron can be something that they are low in or deficient. So or vegetarian, plant-based, vegans, you know, that can be a reason why you're not getting pregnant, because we know that that's linked to infertility issues, I guess. Well, affects the fertility, sorry. So I guess working on iron knowing what your levels are, because it can take some time to build up iron. So if you do need a supplement, that needs ideally to be started beforehand. A lot of when you're pregnant, you do get lots of side effects like constipation anyway, and a supplement can just, you know, make it a little bit worse. And it's uncomfortable being nauseated, constipated, and you might also be vomiting. So it's not ideal to be iron deficient before you want to conceive. And if you are vegetarian, plant-based or vegan, then the B12 is going to be really important. You are wanting to make sure that you're getting that. It comes from animal food and byproducts, so you will need to supplement that. That's important because it has a role in folate and DNA synthesis and the growth and development of your baby. So iron, I think, is one to make sure that you're getting enough of. If you do eat meat and you, it's hard because some people who do eat meat as well still don't get enough iron. Like I said, if you can just have heavy periods, that could be an issue. So yes, trying to get a little bit more iron from your diet, but also getting that check in with your doctor to make sure that you're not low or deficient, and B12 supplement if you need. The other one is zinc. Zinc comes from oysters and seafood. It can help with fertilization. It's needed when the sperm and egg meet. So I think it was like about 80% of women worldwide were low in zinc. So that can be something that, you know, getting, again, seafood is really good for conception. So I touched on omega-3s before. So trying to get, you know, having salmon at least twice a week can help. But again, if you're having trouble, the best thing you can do is just get some personalized advice, because there is a lot of information on Google, and I find people are overwhelmed with information, and that makes just the basics really hard. I don't know what to eat, you know, I read this, I heard this, but it might not apply to you. You know, you might not need to work on all of it at once. It might just mean that we just need to make a few tweaks to optimize your diet for conception. You know, just getting that personalized approach can just take a weight off people's shoulders, because like I said, we know we should be having more fruits and vegetables, and we should be having a balanced diet, but it is just so hard to do. So that can just clear that overwhelm, and including your partner, you know, it does affect nutrition, and diet does affect male health and sperm count. So males tend to think that they're off the hook, that it's a female thing, that they need to optimize their diet, but really men need to do it as well. So getting, you know, the male involved and looking at some of those lifestyle factors that can affect the quality of sperm, like alcohol and smoking, So they're two things that, you know, you really do want to, not have at all before you try and have a baby, because it does affect the DNA and it does reduce how many healthy sperm are available for conception. So yeah, I hope that's...
Yeah, you know, heaps of information. I guess it's just coming back to that, making sure that it is personalized and individualized. And even though today we're giving general information, we're still encouraging people to make sure that they go get themselves checked out, just because everybody is different. And I know you have four kids. Are you able to share with us some of your own lessons or advice that you would give others on conception, one conception, but also supporting yourself when you are pregnant? Because, you know, I've got two kids, so, you know, I know there's lots of ups and downs as well when we're pregnant. So if you could share a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't really know what kind of pregnancy you're going to have until you are pregnant. And that surprised me the most with my first baby. I thought that nausea and vomiting will be just limited to my first trimester, and that it will ease at least after my first trimester. And that wasn't the case at all. I had nausea and vomiting throughout all four of my pregnancies, right up to the very end. So, I still eat well, I ate well, and I was a fit person, and it just hit me like a bus when that was my pregnancy. But what I've learned is how I optimize my nutrition stores beforehand can sort of help me ride the wave out better. I definitely, when I realize that this is something that I'm going to experience, once it happens, usually if you are vomiting past the 20-week mark, it is common that might happen again in other pregnancies that you will have. So once I sort of understood that, I do need to build myself up, because I'm going to struggle when I'm pregnant. I did have a better experience. Even though I was still vomiting, I just could handle it a lot better, and I could have a lot more support in that sort of space, and my pantry was a little bit better filled with the foods that I knew that I could tolerate better. So all those things will also help you to handle postpartum, because that's where you're going to be the most depleted. You've had 9 months of just baby, just taking everything. You've just gone through birth. That's a marathon in itself. And then you're going to be up all night because you're going to add sleep deprivation in there as well. So it's so, taxing on our bodies. And just being a little, having that knowledge and beforehand, and giving yourself a chance to build up your nutrition stores, will give you a better chance to handle those highs and lows of pregnancy and postpartum.
Yeah. I agree. I was really sick during my first pregnancy, and it went the whole way through. And I kept thinking, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? But it really didn't. So I can definitely relate to that. And with my second, I was really sick during the first trimester. I was actually pretty good during the second, and then it returned in the third trimester, and I was really sick again. So, yeah, it can be different from person to person, and then different from each pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess, just trying to think about that it's a long journey, so getting on top of these healthy practices is something that you want to learn, not just for pregnancy, but you need that postpartum, and your baby's going to model that behavior. To your kids are learning from you, and you're giving those kids, you're responsible for their nutrition. So it's not just a short-term outlook. You're not looking at things at short-term, you're looking at being healthy for the long term, so you can be the best version of yourself. for your kids and your babies. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're all going to thrive, aren't you, if you're all eating well from the start. Yeah. So if there was one thing that you could tell a listener today that they could just go away after listening to this and implement straight away, maybe they're thinking about, you know, preparing for conception, or maybe they've, you know, recently conceived, so they're early on in their pregnancy, what's one thing that they could go away and do?
I'm a bit biased, but I'm going to say see a prenatal dietitian. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't know that they can do.
No, well, I'll admit, you know, I'm in the nutrition field and I haven't heard of a lot of dietitians that specialize in the prenatal field. I mean, I didn't go see somebody, obviously, because I'm a nutritionist. I kind of felt like I had everything under control, but I did get a blood test done. So I already had that knowledge, but yeah, I would agree that most people probably wouldn't even know that you guys are actually available.
Yeah. And that your prenatal supplements are so varied in what they contain. So getting that blood test will help your dietitian tailor what you need, you know, specifically for your medical situation and your diet. You know, some people just don't eat certain foods, and, you know, we really do need to look at, you know, what else we can do and if the supplement has enough of it to cover you for healthy growth and development of your baby. So, yeah, get in touch with the prenatal dietitian. It's going to help with the lifelong health of your baby and you.
Awesome. Can you share with us, if people want to reach out to you, follow you, work with you, can you give us all your handles on social, on your website and everything as well?
Yeah, so it's Dietitian Fitness for Mums on Instagram, and on Facebook it's Laura Atea, Dietitian and Fitness for Mums.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been great having you on. And I can't wait for listeners to be able to hear all this fantastic information.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me on. It's been great getting to get the message out there for your listeners today.
Great. Thank you. I'll chat again to you soon.
Sounds
good. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.